With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this October 11th, 2023. And tonight we have the dependable, loyal, well, producer, none other than Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. Great to be with you.
There you go. It's good to have you here tonight. And of course, we have the legendary, that's right, the legendary, well, the parson, Joe Larson.
Well, infamous is probably a closer word, but you went from loud to soft here. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you're just kind of coming in weak, Kyle.
Okay, is Kyle coming in weak or just me?
No, you are. I was just telling him.
Okay. Well, I'll try to speak up if it suits you.
That helps to hear when you lead the show, if I can hear what you're saying. You know.
All righty, very good. There you go. Is that better, Joe?
That's better.
Yeah, Kyle said you'd complain if you got hung with a brand new rope.
Probably.
I don't know.
I like the old ways of the best, old ropes.
The old. All right, very good. Now, we got to get into the message tonight. The title of the message was Woe to the Spoilers of Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me that we started in Isaiah 33. That was before Saturday. That was the day before Saturday. And woe. How proper that was, because the application was just perfect with what is taking place there today in Jerusalem. And I saw that the sirens were going off all over Jerusalem all day long, the air raid sirens. Anyhow, we're going to start tonight. We're going to pick it up in Revelation chapter 19, Joe. Let's do a verse or two at a time.
All right.
Starting with verse 11. So do 11 and 12.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Well, you know, right here you see three names for the Lord. Of course, there's a lot of names for the Lord. It's an amazing thing here. But when we see this, now God's purpose here for the tribulation period, we know it was twofold, right? It was to purify the wife of God, which is Israel. And to judge the nations. But Satan had a purpose in all of this, too. What do you think Satan's purpose for the tribulation period was?
In the tribulation, I know his purpose was to try and take as many people to hell with him as he could.
Well, his main purpose was to try to defeat God.
Well, yeah. Which,
yeah.
which, yeah, I guess, you know, I look at it, that may be the main one, but that couldn't be done. So secondary, take as many with him as he went down. Because he had to realize he's going down, didn't he?
Well, you know, who knows? Because when you had someone that was, in, you know, Satan was, you can be extremely intelligent, but dumber than a rock. And in that source here, you know, here, with his intelligence, he felt that he could avoid the lake of fire, that he could defeat God, you know, and then those...
Break scripture, right? If he
right.
could break scripture, he could defeat God.
That was the goal, but then here, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. On his head were many crowns. What do you think that's all about?
Well, he's the supreme judge of the universe. He's the king of kings. So I guess the many crowns represent the fact of all the kings, he has all the crowns, really.
Well, how do you get more than one crown on your head?
You really don't in that sense of as a person, but on his head, many crowns, probably symbolizing layers or something.
In the days, the biblical days of the kings, they would have a crown, one crown, and on there he would be the king of this land, and you'd have on there a smaller crown attached to that crown, and then he would be the king of this land, and you would have another crown, and you would have all of these things that he had conquered, and that so around there he would be. You would have one crown on his head, but then you'd have all of these little things. Just like, remember when we had our medals in the military? You'd have them many up on your chest there, the ribbons, the different ribbons in that. But you'd have one chest, but a lot of ribbons on that chest, right, or whatever.
Right.
But here, so that's what it's referring to. So the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings had a crown, and on that was many. It would have probably been more crowns on that crown. In other words, the identification crowns. Then
well, there would just be like with the different names for Christ. Faithful, true would be one crown for faithful, one crown for true, one crown for some of his other names.
Yeah,
possibly.
Okay, so, but now he says. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. So we don't know that because only God knows what that name is. But we do know one thing. If we go back and he says, let me see. He says this, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And of course, we know the blood is the great slaughter. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, with white and clean. Now, there's a name for the Lord in the Scriptures, and I believe it's over in Ephesians, if I remember right. And
there was one name for him, was Captain of the Lord's Army.
Captain of the Host, yeah.
Captain of the Host of the Lord's Army.
Yeah. But there's one name that was mentioned only one time, one word, in all of Scripture.
Potentate.
Okay. That's it. It's potentate. Okay. And so here now, and what's the definition of potentate?
Oh, all the... I was up on my tongue.
A potentate. Is the absolute powerful.
What? And,
yeah.
Has all power. Okay.
Well, yeah, the absolute, right. And so here, and the armies in heaven which were with him followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. What armies were there in heaven that followed him?
Well, there would be the angels, there would be the saints, and the tribulation saints and the pre-trib saints, which would be us.
Right. Well, the first time the term angel, saints, was used was to define angels.
right.
in the Old Testament. So there's four categories of saints, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed as fine linen, white and clean. Now, what's
and
the
white horse? If you go on a white horse, you're going to war. I guess when the kings would travel of Israel, if they went on a white horse, they were going to war. If they were going to something peace, they would go on a donkey.
Okay, well, all of these are going to be white horses. All the saints
right.
are going to be on white horses.
Right,
and so,
we're going to war. Yeah.
So how's that going to play out? I mean, it's millions and millions of miles from here to the third heaven. You know, how long do you think it's going to take us to ride those horses all across space?
I don't think very long. I don't know if horses, dragons, what, I don't, you know, horse represents in those days they're going to war on a war horse. How
well,
it will actually go, I don't know.
Well, no, it's pretty clear it's going to be a white horse here. That's not symbolic, but now here, you know, we see all through Scripture dimensions. We see back in the Old Testament where Moses is upon the upon a mountain, and a door opens and God steps out in a cloud, and then
there's those doorways. We know Jacob's ladder, a door opened in heaven, so
right above Jacob,
open anywhere, right above, yeah.
Okay, and then you had what about the upper room? The upper room there, the Lord Jesus, door opened and he stepped in. He appeared to all of the...
He just was there. He just appeared.
Yeah.
Like the transport on Star Trek was transported.
And then, well, the Bible says a door opened or a door opened.
Right.
So we'll go with the door opened. And then you would really love to...
Where the disciples waited, he just appeared in the middle of the room. He just, in a flesh, he appeared right in the middle of the room without going through a door or window.
Have you ever fantasized about having Scotty beam you up?
Yeah, I guess probably most people have been transported. Yep.
Yeah. But anyhow, what about when the first time Jesus preached and they picked up stones, they wanted to stone him, and he was in the mist. He
disappeared.
Right, he just, this door opened, he was out of there. And so there's other cases in the Bible we see the same thing happening. And so here he goes on to say, and the armies which were in heaven, fine linen clothed, and fine linen, white and clean. Now what's the purpose of an army?
Well, going to war. The army's battle, you're part of an army, you're going to bring a victory.
Okay, so is the object when an army goes to war is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you?
Right, destroy the enemy, exactly.
Okay. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So how long do you think that sword that came out of his mouth is, like 2 or 3 miles long?
That is, I think, remember, the word, the sword of the Lord is the word of God. All he has to do, it represents sharp sword. He speaks the word and things happen.
Okay, so now the very fact that the armies are with him, and when we've been in the military, you wait to give him the orders to fight, right?
Right.
Okay, so do you think that that sword is when the Lord says to the saints, go get them?
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty good to me.
Well, that's what armies do. Okay, now.
Yeah, that's what armies, exactly. And... He, you know, if he didn't want to utilize his army, he wouldn't bring it with him.
Absolutely, and he hath
well,
on
God does his... things the same way, right? When Revelation talks about when there was war in heaven, and the angels fought with Satan and his angels, and threw Satan out of heaven. So he let the angels fight. He didn't just throw Satan out himself or those with him. He let the angels fight.
Right.
So and then, he does things the same way, right?
Yeah, the same way, but sometimes there's some differences in the way he does it. Like when, if you read in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, when it talks, well, when he fought in the battle, in the days of the battle, and he's referring to when he took Israel out of Egypt, and the Lord fought against Pharaoh's army.
Right, right. Well, that alone.
In this case, he just used natural, he used, you know, the water and so on and so forth here. Now, there's a lot of similarities that we're going to get into when all the armies of the world come down to Jerusalem. You're going to see a lot of similarities, as it says, as he fought in the day of battle, of what took place there at the Red Sea, and what will take place at the Mount of Olives. And he says, and I saw an angel standing. Oh, wait, no, I missed a verse. And out of his, okay, verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into your supper of the great God. Now, what is the significance of standing in the sun? Because whenever you see this there, when it refers to standing in the sun in Scripture, or it refers to two things, God's majesty and God's power. So it's referring to God's majesty and power there. And then he says that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, both small and great. And I saw a beast and the king of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's us. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceiveth them, and received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. Doesn't sound like much of a future, huh?
No, sounds like a very definite, described, there's no way out.
And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now let me ask you this. How likely is everything that we just read to be fulfilled to the very letter? How likely is that?
Extremely, because God, everything he says he does, and everything that he said he would do, he's done. That's up to so far, it's been fulfilled, a perfect record, which is mathematically impossible for that to have come true exactly how and when he said that.
Well, it's math is a perfect science, but it's mathematically impossible, not for God, because nothing's impossible,
right,
for God.
I mean, in our world, yeah, for that to have happened, but that's why we know it will.
Remember what Einstein said about God? He said, when it comes to theory, God doesn't have to theorize. In other words, he has the answer, huh?
Right. And he said, God is very clever, but never deceitful. Never deceitful.
Right. Well, you know, we're going to go. We're going to play a clip right now. This is going to be a very interesting clip because we're going to be talking about treason. What has taken place today? You know, Mark Milley, we've warned people about Mark Milley. He retired a couple weeks ago. He slept out. But listen to this, and this deceitful, very, very deceitful 60-minute interview Folks, I'm going to tell you, don't ever forget, those in the mainstream media, you better try to understand, they're your enemy. If you believe in God, if you believe in country, decency, honor, integrity, and life.
Family, yeah. Life, family, God, yeah.
All righty. Go ahead and take her away.
President Trump recently said that your dealings with China were so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death.
That's right, he said that. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
He is suggesting that you be punished by death, the former commander-in-chief to his former top military advisor.
Look, I'm a soldier. I've been faithful and loyal to the Constitution of the United States for 44 and a half years. And my family and I have sacrificed greatly for this country, my mother and father before them. And, you know, as much as these comments are directed at me, it's also directed at the institution of the military. And there's 2.1 million of us in uniform. And the American people can take it to the bank that all of us, every single one of us, from private to general, we're loyal to that Constitution and we'll never turn our back on it no matter what. No matter what the threats, no matter what the humiliation, no matter what. If we're willing to die for that document, if we're willing to deploy to combat, if we're willing to lose an arm, a leg, an eye to protect and support and defend that document and protect the American people, then we're willing to live for it, too. So I'm not going to comment directly on those things, but I can tell you that this military, this soldier, me, will never turn our back on that Constitution.
But for the record, was there anything inappropriate or treasonous about the calls you made to China?
Absolutely not. Zero. None.
It almost seems odd to ask this question because the former commander-in-chief seems to be calling for your execution. Are you worried about your safety?
I've got adequate safety precautions. I wish those comments had not been made, but they were, and we'll take appropriate measures to ensure my safety and the safety of my family.
Okay. That cut, and this is my not being on top of things, is not the perfect cut. In the perfect cut of that, she pulls out, I think it's Bob Costas' book, and she reads about what happened after they went to, he went to St. John's Church, and he said it was a huge mistake. But in this, in that part, and we'll cut it by this afternoon show, we'll have it right, and that's on me to do that. He says he takes an oath to the Constitution. And then she goes, well, did Trump ever do anything that you saw that was unconstitutional? And his response is, he talks about the post-war, the liberal post-war international rules-based order. That's what he talks about.
The American Empire.
The American Empire that Trump, right. Trump was very dissent to that. And she kind of asked, well, hang on. Is that against the Constitution? President Trump, and this is your point about the Bretton Woods Cold War, the apparatus General Marshall and others set up. That was the beginning of an American empire. It's called the post-war international rules-based order. Now, that order was used to game the system and lead the rise to the existential threat to America, which is the Chinese Communist Party, in addition to an administrative state that became like a Praetorian Guard. This is why they're picking – this is why they picked Joe Biden against Trump. They refuse – and this is why it's going to be so tough to get Trump into the White House again. Is there any doubt in your mind that that's what Milley and Esper and these people were fighting for, was the protection of the post-war international rules-based order?
I think that's exactly it, Steve. I mean, the defense of the American empire looked to be more important than the defense of our Constitution or the republic. They don't think of themselves as living in a republic with a constitution. They think of themselves really as part of an empire, defenders of an empire. That means we have to have a military that can engage in war everywhere, always, and continuously. And so Trump wanted to stop that. He wanted to rein in this idea that America is going to go fight wars everywhere. The odd part about the American empire is, just this formulation, I know some of our colleagues don't like it, but it's not so much about the empire as an empire, because we're not even very good at empire. We don't turn people into people who like us. We go abroad and people end up hating us. This is one of the things
we don't do a great job like Rome did of developing client states, right?
Yeah, or like England, and you know, turn people into a more
Englishmen,
a more civilized.
They're elites,
right? And spread to them. We go to places, fight wars, and create empires of people who hate us, which makes no sense at all. President Trump saw that in Milley and Esper and all those folks. And he also saw that the main threat, communist China, was not something they were going to deal with. So not only were they sending us in the wrong direction, they took their eye off the main enemy of the United States, and that is communist China. Milley and the entire apparatus of the Pentagon was not building a national missile defense to stop them, was not reinforcing our own nuclear arsenal to stop them, to deter them, was not building enough advanced weaponry. You know, we don't need to spend – we're spending a lot of money on defense. We're not spending it well. We could spend less and do much more than we are. We need to spend money on the kind of things that will deter communist China from either attacking the United States or our allies. Trump saw that they are not serious about that, and that's the thing that they were opposed to. The idea that General Milley would call up his counterpart in communist China, if that's not a treasonable offense, I don't know what is. He was going around the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief.
By the Constitution, the commander-in-chief of the armed forces.
He went around him and spoke to our mortal enemy and communicated something to that enemy. Now, if that's not treason, I'm not sure what is. And does anybody think Donald Trump would put Mark Milley to death? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to even talk that way for 60 minutes. What he would do is point out to the American people that you're not supposed to do that. There's a chain of command. He was the commander in chief. And this general, I mean, one thing about President Trump is he has too great a affinity for generals. And they had turned on him on many, many occasions. What we have to realize here is the civilian control of the military is paramount. President Trump, as president, was getting us on the right track. Now, under President Biden, we're on the wrong track. The American empire is growing again. And until we have a president who is willing to check that and a Congress that is willing to check the power of this current president and our military, I mean, we spent $4.1 billion over the last 3 years on LGBTQ projects.
Forcing it down the throats of
people around the world. Just around the world.
Around the world.
Right.
Who hate it, who don't want to do it.
Now, those people that we're spreading that to, do they think we're serious people? I don't think so.
You know, here, again, Joe, Milley, we how many times did we report it? Everything he did, Milley came out every time he had a press conference or whatever. He was promoting and, again, shoving sodomy down. They were wondering why so many people were leaving the military. And you had so many people in the military. Remember when they were taking – they were going into people's – the soldiers, and they would have maybe a Bible scripture upon the wall who would be ripped down. And remember – when McTernan and I got into that big controversy with the War College and the Pentagon, because that we just read out of Ezekiel yesterday, 38, and in Zechariah, which we'll be reading from tomorrow, because of that, they said that Christians should not be serving in the military because their loyalty would be to Jesus Christ and not to the United Nations. And so Milley was definitely a New World Order man. And again, he was doing like Nancy Pelosi when she stood up and tore up Trump's speech right there. You know, that to me was a sign of treason. That was a treasonous act in my while he was speaking. And so, and Milley, again, between Milley and Austin, they weakened our military substantially. I mean, they really weakened our military. And remember, when Obamanation, this man of great, great sin, Barack Obamanation, when he came in, remember, Joe, how every day we said, do you see what he's done today? Do you see what he's doing today? How one by one he got rid of all, he got rid of 11 four-star generals. These were guys who, their loyalty were to God, country, and Constitution. And he got rid of them and replaced them with bootlickers, with people like Milley, who would do whatever they were told for their promotions and to advance up. And Milley was a total disgrace. What do you think about all that?
Well, I'm going to add to it. Milley and is part of the deep state, and a story out from American Military News. We've talked about it, the FBI secretly targeting Trump supporters. Why? Well, they're targeting the extremists that MAGA, you know, Make America Great, and they're investigating because we are, they're calling the MAGA people domestic terrorists, and that we would be the ones who would foment a terrorism event like January 6th, the storming, and the whole thing goes on. Trump's army, they said, one of the senior intelligence officials, Trump's army constitutes the greatest threat of violence domestically, politically. That's the reality, and that's the problem set. And that's what the FBI, as a law enforcement agency, has to deal with. So we are a threat domestically, politically, and who's MAGA makes up is mostly what? The Christian right, the Bible-believing, God-fearing Americans.
Right.
So it's just an extension of what they were trying to do, get them out of the military. And now we have the FBI trying to label 100,000 or, you know, over hundreds of thousands of us as terrorists. And we're dangerous. We're the enemy.
Well, you know, remember they said
China.
Anyone that supported any Trump supporters, that's 82 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that voted for Trump. And so, again, yeah, you're right. So we're at the Milley. He's gone now, but I'm sure that they'll replace him, again, with someone like.
Oh, that guy that they did is, the brown guy. He's got a real weird record, too, so he's not going to be an improvement.
No. And, of course, Austin is just as bad as Milley. He's, so I consider, and this is why they're having so hard a time getting any people, because they pushed sodomy upon our soldiers, and our soldiers had enough of it. And then they try to force them to take an experimental death-killing shot.
Oh,
and so many that took that poke ended up with myocarditis. And so
and several of the young men died. They actually had their heart failures. And then we had a lot of the pilots were grounded, couldn't fly because of heart problems because they took the vax.
Well, you didn't see that wicked woman from 60 Minutes that were interviewing Milley. You didn't see her talking about any of that, did you?
No, didn't bring up a thing about that, nope. But, no, I mean, what straight man wants to sleep with a sodomite in the bunk over him, next to him, be stuck in the dark all night on a guard duty with a sodomite? That's why the they were never wanted in the military in the first place. And so when they started forcing that, they said, oh, we went around and did a survey, and it was, oh, just fine with all the people we talked to. Well, I've talked to hundreds of veterans, and it wasn't all right with anyone I ever talked to.
Right.
So it was one of those made up, had the facilitators, and the answer was made up before they asked the question. And, oh, yeah, everybody wants this, kind of like abortion. All women want abortions. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they, of course, they don't know that. They just say it and hope that everybody will believe it.
All righty. You know, when you're talking about here, you're hearing people saying over and over, 20 babies had their heads cut off. They cut off more heads of babies than that every day here in America right now. And here in Ohio, if they can get this issue one on the ballot, if they can get it passed, there'll be open warfare on babies. I mean, this is from what they call an issue from hell. It is right from hell, and it's put out there by nothing but demons. And there's not one of those ungodly, unclean, evil, wicked demons out there that would have the courage to come on this radio program and sit across from me and try to defend us. They wouldn't do it. All right? Now, here I was, you know, I was told that I couldn't, you know, under the FCC laws, I can't run a commercial, you know, without giving the opposition the equal time. Well, I said I would be more than happy to give the opposition, to get somebody to come on and sit across from me, but they won't do that. No, they'll just, they just want time to play their own made-up commercials. But
yeah,
these
they,
people,
they want to come in and just play a tape or do a thing, but they sure don't want to have to debate.
Oh, no, uh-uh. Because they're lying, 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 and lying. And so, in fact, we're going to, and I'm going to be on top of this because it takes away all the parental rights. It promotes killing, every kind of killing. It allows children. It allows people that, anyone who wants to assist in aborting a baby to become an abortionist. And you know, it's just as evil and as evil gets. And so I'm warning people because of what's taking place and what's happening now. This is getting more and more serious, folks. And I'm telling you because what we're going to be doing some programs this week. the opposition, they know that what happens if we get Trump back into office. They know that he will this time. He knows where all the bodies are buried. He knows the deep state. He will go after them this time, and with a vengeance. And so they're going to do everything they can to either stop the election or start, if they have to start a civil war. Joe Obama's been bringing in, well, Joe, remember the goal, going all the way back to the 80s, when Pat Buchanan was on his program, when we were on in the afternoon, and We talked to a number of the politicians, and even all the way back then, we knew that the globalists, the New World Order people, their goal was to bring in 50 million illegals into this country. Well, they've made it. They've hit it, Joe. We have that many here now, but the vast majority of your people are absolutely clueless. And Obama, or Joe Obama, and Joe Biden has brought in these people in time for a civil war. They want to start a civil war. Now, I've been warning people and telling people, look, you're talking about, well, here, we're in Ohio, and those guys are all down on the southern border. No, they're not. No, they're not. But you have to understand something, too. You better, and we've tried to warn you about this before. The people that put Obama and Joe Obama into office, those that live in your area, we've warned you, because when this breaks out, and I've been telling people, Joe, the Bible says you can tell the enemy by what? The fruits that they bear.
Right.
And if they have a Joe Biden sign in their yard, or if they have a vote yes on issue one sign in the yard, should you mark those people? I'm not saying to hate them. I'm not saying to attack them. But I'm saying to mark out and remember who they are.
Don't trust them. Don't make friends with them. Don't believe. You know, watch them, because they are not your friend. They're the enemy. Well, look what Hillary's doing. This ties in perfectly. Hillary Clinton, a few days back, called for a re-education camp agenda for supporters of Donald Trump. She came out and was asking for formal deprogramming of Trump supporters because the Republican base is made up of bigots. Remember, she's the one that called us a basket of deplorables. Now, this is a quote she said, and she's talking about how the this extreme group is wagging the dog of the Republican Party. Quote, "And sadly, many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure." And she goes on, then she says, "Because," this is a direct quote, "at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen. Okay. Now, when somebody comes out and starts talking like this, Trump said they're not just after me. They're, you know, I'm in the way. They're after you. Hillary Clinton is after us, not just because of Trump, but because of what MAGA stands for. We are the Constitution, the Second Amendment, you know, the God-fearing, Bible-believing, Constitution-loving. You know, we believe in the Second Amendment. We believe in the capitalist system. We are the enemy that's in their path that's stopping them from completing the communist revolution that's taking place. And we are the ones that have to go be arrested, deprogrammed, or eliminated. And so when they're, you know, going so hard after Trump, they're going to be equally as hard coming after us if we don't win this next election.
Well, here in Ohio, when we talk about issue one, I'm not worried about the opposition having more votes than us. No, we've been monitoring that. And
definitely legal votes.
Yeah.
Legally outvoting.
That's what we're and we're going to start a campaign to call the Attorney General here in Ohio, Secretary of State, for them to open up. The Republicans have been, and especially now that we have all of the rhinos in the state house, we really have to worry or be concerned about that. But we have to really start hitting on the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, to secure the voting procedures. Because the Democrats, again, we've said it time and time again, where it comes to election fraud, voter fraud, they're to voter fraud what Elvis was to rock and roll and Muhammad Ali to boxing. They're the best. When it comes to voter and election fraud, they're used to it.
They have been all the way back. I can't remember a time in my life. I remember one of the big elections in Missouri, there were more dead people voting. We had people whose address was in the middle of the Missouri River, you know, this kind of thing, on and on and on. And whenever that kind of thing was found, the votes always went to what? The Democrat Party.
Every time.
Everything I can think of. Every time we had election fraud, it was always in favor of the Democrats.
Well, not only that, but just take a look at how many there. Remember when Kennedy was running against Nixon and you had the Daley machine? You had all of those dead Republicans who had died came back and voted as Democrats during the election. And
posters out there, if I die, don't let me vote Democrat. I've seen them all over Missouri, little signs and posters and stickers.
Yeah, just recently you had, we were talking about Maricopa County, the election fraud. I think if I remember right, it was like out of Detroit in Michigan, where they had around 1,000 ballots with different names all at the very same address. I mean, you have to have a very large apartment, you know, and that's what it was. It was an apartment. They had about 1,000 people with the same address.
Kind of to back this up, I was looking at something else. Hillary, you know, was talking about, you know, the same thing I reported, the FBI, the new category of extremists it's tracking and countering, you know, the MAGA people. She cited Mao's anti-rightist campaign. She's very serious. She said, what was in common among those rightists? They expressed incorrect ideas and opinions. We expressed incorrect, in other words, didn't go along with the narrative. Quote, overnight, people found themselves as labeled as enemies of the state. Off they were sent to thought reform camps, the Chinese version of the Soviet gulags, to be deprogrammed through hard labor. Untold number of those rightists perished in the gulags. And, you know, goes on and on about how many these thought reform efforts, you know, included hard labor and starvation. So when you have Hillary quoting the anti-rightist campaigning, I remember, you know, the statistics. There were many people died in those camps. Some historians think it was in China was more than a million that died in their thought reform, their reprogramming. And she wrote, in America, the MAGA extremists are those who have survived the government schools, Marxist-run universities, and corporate media. They escaped the programming, and therefore they need to be reprogrammed according to the agenda.
So
out of Bob Unruh, World News Daily.
Well, Hillary has been, she has been making a lot of appearances lately. I mean, she's out, she's everywhere you turn on. She's in front of making all of these far, far, far left talk shows and that, and radio programs she's on. So you don't suppose she'd come on this one, do you? The one time that she did come on, I had to bleep her five times.
She has, other than her speeches in private, everybody that's been around her, she's got one of the worst potty mouths. She would scream obscenities and horrible things. Gary Aldrich, the Secret Service agent there at the White House, and everybody we've talked to that was around her was just terrible, terrible swearing language, foul, disgusting words, you know. So it kind of tells you what she's like. She puts one face on television and in private, totally different. Mean, screaming, yelling. People are afraid of her. She treats people like dirt. The servants,
real
person.
She scared old Slick Willie, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. A couple of his police bodyguards would hide him from her. When she was mad, she was throwing things at him and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow, there you go. So I'm wondering if they're going to try an October surprise of some kind and, you know, try to pull her out of the mothballs, because she's making a whole lot of – there's been a lot of talk about Hillary and Michelle Obama.
Yeah, there's been on both of them. There's about an equal number of things I see all the time about Michelle waiting for her turn or Hillary waiting to come back, try it one more time. I think Hillary wants it a lot more than Michelle. I think she just, her whole life has been, she deserves to be, she should have been, she's the one that we've all been waiting for, kind of thing. And I don't think she'll give up till the day she dies.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. If you were president, how would you feel about having Hillary as vice president with her reputation?
I would sleep with a Delta Force team around me probably at night, and, you know. Even then, I would be probably fairly nervous about closing my eyes.
And so here, and Hillary, if she took the number one spot, she would have to definitely know, because of she knows herself. She would be very, very suspicious of Michelle, wouldn't she?
You got a good point there. Yeah, she would worry about that.
Yep. Anyhow. All right, very good. Well, we got a lot of things. Now, you see here, they're saying that Steve Scalise wins the House Republican nomination for Speaker by 113-99 over Jim Jordan.
That was interesting. Even with his cancer, I wonder if a lot of people didn't get a vote there because of his how he's handling his cancer, and I don't know, he's got a good reputation, but there's also kind of pride in the fact he's
called rhinosinusitis. Rhinos fear Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan would be too good, and I mean he's too real for a rhino. Jim Jordan actually does the things he says. I mean, he's actually 100% in the fight. And that's too much for the rhinos. The rhinos want a lot more lukewarm, okay? And so and that's you can bet Jim Jordan didn't get not one rhino vote. And so we'll see what happens, because from what I understand, it's not been totally settled yet. They've got some wrangling to do.
They've
got to
have a complete vote, and then they've got to have a complete vote for the House. So, and there's a couple, like Marjorie Taylor Greene said she's not voting because she said she really likes Scalise, and the stress of that job she thinks would, with the cancer in his health, would be too hard on him. And she said, if you really like somebody, you don't want him doing something like that that might really harm himself or kill himself. I don't know if you use the word kill himself, but
well, then why, is why don't she
harm himself?
Then why doesn't she vote for his opponent, Jim Jordan?
She came out and she told Scalise why she won't vote for him. That was an open letter to him.
Okay. Well, she may have a point there, too.
She didn't say it behind his back. She said that, you know, she made it clear it was to let him know why she wouldn't vote for him.
Well, that would, I would say, would be a pretty good reason, huh? All right.
So.
Just what's happening in there, what is taking place in Peru. In Peru, large numbers of young Jewish people that live in Peru are getting on airplanes and flying into Israel to join the military. What do you think about that?
I hear all over the world they're flying in from different countries. A lot from the United States have packed up and left and gone to join the ADF.
And
the
so,
what is it? IDF.
Yeah, so.
Israeli Defense Force.
So what, doesn't the Bible have something to say about when God brings all of his people back to Israel?
Yeah, I think there's a line or two about that, isn't there?
It's going to gather them from all over the world.
World, right.
Yeah.
And they come back to Israel. But I noticed a lot of the, even there were some married people, they were leaving their families where they were. They were just going back to fight, but leaving their families in a safer place, which to me is pretty intelligent, because Israel is a small, small country. And there's not too many places that you can keep somebody out of trouble there.
What do you think's happening now in our Congress, where you've got these Muslims that wanted to totally destroy Israel, and then you've got the fake Jews, these phony Jews, and you know they want to try to keep up their appearance as Jews, but it's going to be very hard for them to do now, because then they have to go against the Muslims, which you got the squat and all of those. And I'm noticing how they're trying to, well, they really won't come out and really speak out against those that are anti-Israel. And so there you go. I mean, you got right there in Congress sitting seats away from each other. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's to me such a horrible thing to have those really they're American haters in our government, and the people that elected them should be so terribly ashamed, and the damage they've done and the encouragement, the aid and the courage they've given to our enemies. It is America's shame.
All righty, very good. That Habib woman or whatever, what a mouth she has on her. We're coming up to a break. When we come back from this break, we got a whole lot more. So I'm going to introduce a clip. It's very interesting. Be right back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.